Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Temple courts. Now, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he with... Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. You say, well, how does this person apply to me? I think this person applies to all of us, because I think all of us are continually dealing with something that will cripple our lives. Maybe for some of us it's health. Maybe for others it's finances. Maybe for some it's relationships. Maybe with some it is hurts deep down. Perhaps it's the past that seems to be chasing you around. Maybe it's a satanic lie that you have believed your whole life, and you are here, and over a number of years, you just have not been able to unbelieve that lie. Maybe it's fear. What happens is that you are powerless over it, other than the fact that you need God and a friend to help you through that. Because this is what this passage of Scripture shows. Now, this passage of Scripture is in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2 was when the day of Pentecost had taken place, and that it was kind of the launching of the New Testament church. And if it wasn't the day of Pentecost and the events that had happened that had catapulted the church ahead, it was this miracle. This was something which was fantastic that took place. You know, every day a person who has been lame for 40 years, all of a sudden gets up and starts walking, I think that's kind of a special event. I think that's something that perhaps you don't see every day. And so as I take a look at this passage of Scripture, I want you just to quickly notice a few things. The first thing is this, is that it was something that was immediate. It was impromptu. It wasn't something that was planned. It wasn't something that they had a strategy as they did it. It just kind of happened. It just took place. As a matter of fact, if you look through the Scriptures, I don't know if it is done this way any other time. You know, sometimes we kind of have this thought that this is what's going to happen. We have a vision in our mind as far as how healing is going to take place. We kind of got to get ourselves into a worship frenzy, get the attitude right, and then somehow at the right time, if you got the right people praying with the sunlight shining at the right time, then God is going to miraculously move. And you'll come to find that isn't always the case. That sometimes God will move in his own way. As a matter of fact, if you have a way planned as to how you think God is going to heal you, it will probably happen some way differently. It's just the way that it is. It caught them surprised. It was something that kind of took place. It was just an ordinary night or an ordinary day, kind of like what we have tonight. It was impromptu. It was something that immediately happened. It was something that was inspired. There was a welling up that kind of took place. You read this passage of Scripture, there was some type of inspiring faith that had somehow taken place. It kind of talks about Peter. It kind of welled up in Peter. He was the one who kind of instigated this. I don't think that there was any faith in the thought of this individual who was there. He was just looking for money. He wasn't even looking for a miracle, was he? But there's something about faith which is necessary for healing to take place. Either the faith of the prayer, or the faith of the person being prayed for, or both. It's something which is needed. Now, there's another passage of Scripture in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, verse 8. It's when Paul is ministering in a community called Lystra. And this is what it says, okay? In Lystra, there came a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth, and had never walked. Same scenario. It's the same scenario. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw, here's the key, that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. But what's so special about this verse? Paul was not the one who exhibited the faith. It was the guy who had been lame for 40 years. Somehow, God had spoken to him in some way, said, you know what? If I believe in this Jesus, I think that I can be healed. So you see, there's this whole thought that there has to be an element of faith. And so what we do is we gather here tonight and we exercise that faith. You might be here and you might be doubtful. You may have been praying for something for decades. And you're at a point of doubt. I know, I prayed for it, I prayed for it, I prayed for it, I prayed for it. Well, maybe you're not the one who has the faith tonight. Maybe someone who's going to pray for you is going to have that faith for you. Maybe sometimes that's great to have a whole bunch of people pray for you because one of them's got to have faith somewhere along the way, right? It's interesting how that happens. There was a situation that happened a number of years ago, and I believe it was at some type of a meeting. It may have been at a Full Gospel Business meeting or something like that, and my friend was there, and my friend was 16 years old at the time. But because his dad was involved in Full Gospel Businessmen, he found himself at the head table. And so what took place was they asked for people if they wanted to be baptized with the Holy Spirit to come up, and someone at the front table would pray for him. And so here my friend was, 16 years old, with all these veterans. And so they came up. And they went to those people, and as a last result, when they saw that the lineup was too much, they went to my 16-year-old friend. And he just laid hands on them, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, one after one after one after one. And these veterans were here, and they were kind of hounding down heaven for these people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But something supernatural happened, and as a result, my friend just has this special gift to pray for people, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's kind of funny how that works, isn't it? There has to be some kind of faith which is take place. So this is what happened. The other thing is this. It was an impossible situation. In both those situations, they were born lame. See, you take a look at the scriptures. There is not one cold, no mention of one person being healed of a cold in scripture. There is not one instance in the Bible that I can go where say that person has a bad back. Bad back, this person's not. I'm not saying if you have a cold and a bad back that you shouldn't be prayed for. What I'm saying, though, is that God doesn't need our help doing the miraculous. And it's time that we began to believe God for the miraculous to take place despite the science or whatever tells us that we can. It's true. And here's the last thing. It was impending. What do you mean by impending? Well, it was in God's timing to be used for God's glory. You know, it was a God thing done in God's time to fulfill God's work. Now, don't take this personally. But if you come up here and God somehow supernaturally heals or does something in your life, it may be that he's not doing it for you. It may be that he's doing it for your neighbor or your friend or the person that you're going to touch. Because ultimately, when God does a miracle, it's for a purpose. It's to show his glory. It is to see the power of God at work. And it isn't necessarily about us. So I apologize in advance. I apologize in advance if God actually works and moves in your life and does a miracle and you come to find that it actually isn't about you. Because that's the truth sometimes. God does things for a purpose. You know, Jesus' greatest means of evangelism was the miraculous. So why should we not believe for the exact same thing? Here's another thing. Let's say this to you. This guy at the beautiful gate, he was there 40 years. He was lame. It wasn't his first day at the temple. He was there day after day after day after day after day. And stop and consider that there had to be at least one or two times where Jesus walked by in the temple and he was there and he wasn't healed. Ever stop to consider that? that guy was a miracle that Jesus didn't do. Why didn't he? Well, because I think God wanted that person to be healed at that particular time to fulfill a purpose in the plan of God. And so here's something which is important. That God is going to do something in your life, and I'm not too sure how he's going to do it. All he tells me is that you got to have faith to believe that God will do something in your life. See, I wonder if the conditions that happened at that time at the beautiful gate, middle of the afternoon, are the exact same conditions as some night like tonight. One thing I can tell you for sure is this. As a person who is kind of speaking, kind of heading up things tonight, I will be the first one to say, silver and gold have I none. I know that that condition is true. You are not going to be healed because of my gourd. Maybe there will be an element of faith that comes out in me that will pray and agree with you, and we will see something happen miraculously. But here's the thing. We need to see God move. We got to allow God to have a chance. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20 says, I tell you, if two of you agree together on anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Is that not the word of God? It says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Matthew 17, 20 said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say this mountain, be thou removed. Every church, I believe, needs to have a story of miracles. The church that I pastored in Lively, there were three documented cases of miraculous from cancer. Three times where the doctor said, you had lymphoma. It was a stage three. And I come here now, it's absolutely clear. You had this particular thing, and the board prayed for you, and they were healed. And I think that many times the churches have to rest in the fact that they see the power of God move in their midst. You may not know this. There's a couple of people who sit up in the balcony every Sunday. I see them every Sunday pretty well. One is a lady named Sapna. Her story is the fact that she comes from India, and in the process of their family raising three kids, or I think it's four children, four girls. The father passed away of a heart attack, and somehow the mom was able to raise four girls. I think three of them became engineers. And she said what had happened was there was some kind of debilitating thing that had happened to my face. And it was so bad that I was afraid to come to church. It was so marring. It was so embarrassing to look with this. The things that were on my face were to me such a terrible, terrible blight on my face that I said, God, can you please take this away? Can you please somehow work? Because it's on my face. And so nothing really happened for a long time until one time at an altar, a number of people from this church prayed over her. And one thing led to another, and it just took over 6 months, and she was cleared of it instantaneously. There's another lady, her name is Jenny, a wonderful person. She has a business, a couple businesses in town here. And she had a problem one time with her daughter that all of a sudden she started losing these patches of hair. As they took her to the doctor, she had a condition, I think it's called alopecia. Perhaps those of you who would know medical terms, that would be an alopecia. And began to lose all of her hair. All of her hair when I believe 5 years old, 6 years old. And so what happened was, as she's talking, she said, Pastor Mike Davis and a couple of other people laid hands on my daughter. And then 6 months later, the hair grew back. She said that there was like she said, of the eight dermatologists or people that we took them to, six of them said, my daughter would never have hair again of any kind for the rest of her life. And yet here she sits with the beautiful head of hair. God does the miraculous. It happens in every church. Every church has a, I don't know, a story to tell, a testimony to have. I grew up in a church. And there was a story that had always circulated since the time I was a young child that somehow in the 1930s, the church was in dire straits. They had a building, but they couldn't keep it. finances were difficult and the pastor went out for a walk, cried out to God. Cried out to God for something to take place. So as he's here, he's just saying, God, you just need to do something. I don't know what to do. And he felt somebody put their hand in his jacket. He looked around, nobody was there. He put his hand in his pocket and the rent money was there. Is that crazy? They talk about a prayer meeting that had happened in the 40s where they were kind of in a what was used to be a dairy, and they were praying one day and the police showed up. Or not the police, the fire department showed up and said, there's a fire. There's a fire on top of your building. You need to get out. So they went there, got there. There's no fire. Isn't that funny? No, we saw flames. Everybody saw flames. You know? And miracle after miracle. And those are things that I hung my faith on. I think we need miracles to hang our faith on. So I say to you today that I'm not too far off when I say that this guy at the beautiful gate somehow represents us. What is the thing that has been crippling you that you can't do without God, that perhaps you need somebody else to say, you know what, I don't have it. I don't have what you're looking for. I don't have the ability to see God move. But what I do have is faith that he can do great things. And if you and I join our hearts together in faith, we can believe and see God for a miracle. Do you believe that? Yes. I believe his word's true. I believe that there's nothing too difficult for God to do. You might be sitting here and saying, I prayed for it 30 years, nothing's happened. Well, all I can say is this. I've got nothing to offer you other than the fact that I serve a God who, if we work together in faith, sees miracles take place. God, do something tonight. Work in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Move in a powerful way, God, in a way that we can't manufacture ourselves. And Lord, I don't want to. I want to see you move. So I pray right now over this congregation. I pray the power and the anointing of God. I pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for life to come. I pray, Father, that we will hear and experience you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.